All right, everybody, I want you to think back to a time where you were at a Christmas party, you know, a long time ago, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth. It seems like forever ago. Maybe it was office party, a smaller group from church or something, and you receive a gift, and all of a sudden you're thinking, oh my goodness, I have two of these, or, oh, they really shouldn't have. And then your mind immediately goes to, who can I re-gift this to? That's an actual made-up word from 1995. Seinfeld, in that sitcom, invented a word that has given handles to a cultural phenomenon here, especially in America, the term re-gifting. See, Mom, I watched a lot of TV, way too much TV, but now it's working its way into a sermon, so it wasn't wasted. Well, most of it was wasted, but some of it's being redeemed right now. Re-gifting is what we're going to be talking about today, and it's just crazy to think that we live in such a privileged time in human history, really, when we can receive a gift, and our first thought is, how do I get this out of my house? Like, that's just absolutely nuts. And I know some of us have places in our house where we store gifts that we can re-gift. And there is no judgment here. It's just a snapshot of our society right now. And I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts as well in a good context, because those are meant. Everyone has gifts from God, and those are meant to be given away. God wants us to be world-class spiritual re-gifters. And when I think about spiritual gifts and how we're all supposed to function as the church body, we are the church, we don't go to church. Like many of you, I think of the Irish rock band U2. I know, it's we're just wired so similarly. And I say that because I was at a U2 concert back in 2009, and they had just finished the most amazing set. Their stage was one of the first rock stages that you could see from outer space. And at the end of it, the lead singer goes, he points to the drummer, Larry Mullen Jr., and he points to his bass player, Adam Clayton, and then he points to the lead guitarist, The Edge. Larry, Adam, The Edge, thank you for letting me be in your band. And of course, the stadium, just Dallas, where the Cowboys play, it was packed. Yeah! And I thought, oh my goodness, what a beautiful picture of what the church can be. These guys have played together for 40 years, and they've been through ups and downs. They all have extremely different giftings, and they've stayed together. Some of them are more out front. A lot of people know who the lead singer Bono is. Not so much Adam Clayton Jr. He's off the charts talented. And when you watch them play together, there's some rock bands that I've seen warming up. I remember in high school watching a punk rock band warm up for another band, and the bass player was doing a jig on top of one of the monitors and getting into it, and he was kind of overshadowing everybody else. But contrast that with a healthier system where everyone knows their role, they're in their lane, and sometimes they have a moment to shine where you hear that one note or you hear that rhythm, but then they move to the background. And I've been to different shows where the lead singer is just off the charts, look at me, and it detracts from the whole experience. And God has given us these different gifts. Some of us are more out front. Some of us are a little bit more behind the scenes, and we're playing those resounding bass notes that resonate through the whole thing. But God wants all of us to use our gifts, whether we're out front or more behind the scenes, to give them away to others. And God looks at us like a proud parent. Like, I was thinking about how much I missed going to my kids' Christmas programs. And there's a bunch of kids, they're all singing the same thing. Every now and then there's a harmony note. Our school, ALCS, Alta Loma Christian School, has an amazing choir program. And I've been to a number of these in the past couple of years. And if you'll see the videos from my phone, even though there's 150 kids on stage, somehow, I use the rule of thirds on mine. So my children are either on this third or that third. They're the focus, even though there's tons of others. And I was thinking, as we're living our lives, not many of us are rock stars, but as we're playing the music of our lives, when we go and function in the church and using our gifts like we're supposed to, God is laser beam focused on us somehow all at the same time going, that's my boy, that's my daughter. But when we try to highlight our own gifts, like I can't imagine if one of my kids tried to steal the show from their whole band and just started going crazy and drawing attention to themselves inappropriately, I would actually be embarrassed for them. Like, oh no, like you're supposed to be singing along with everybody else. And that's how a lot of this stuff works. And I know when we talk about the Holy Spirit, a lot of light bulbs go off or warning signs go off and go, oh no, not this church too. Like, but the Holy Spirit is something very real and very tangible. And your wiring may be that when I said the Holy Spirit, maybe you're more in tune with that. And you thought, oh, great, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. This is my lane. Bring it on, baby. And there's space for that. And we're glad you're here and keep listening. You're gonna enjoy today and enjoy processing today. Or maybe you're wired on the other end of the spectrum where you say, I know the Holy Spirit's a thing because I trust the scriptures and I trust Jesus, but I don't feel anything. Guess what? That is totally okay too. I can identify with that. I grew up in more of a Pentecostal and charismatic tradition. And I remember being in services where someone would be like, ooh, don't you just feel the Spirit in here? And I'd be like, well, the air conditioning came on. That is kind of refreshing, but I don't know what you're talking about. But I do trust that God is real and God can move and there are spiritual gifts. Or I remember going to Oral Roberts University, and in the fall, my friends would come back from their 2 or 3 month-long mission trips, and they would say, I could just feel the spiritual oppression in that country. And I would be like, well, I know where you went. That's called humidity and mosquitoes. Like maybe that's what you felt. But I do trust in that. But I want you to know, if you're more on that end of the spectrum, there is space for you here today, and we're going to look at scriptures. So if you'll open up your Bibles or turn on your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, I want us to just process for a moment the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives and some of the gifts that God has given to all of us. So there's a lot of scripture passages I put in the notes on YouVersion today. So if you're following along on that, we won't hit all of those. We're going to mainly focus on Romans chapter 12. And in there, that's one of my favorite verses where Paul's calling all the church in Rome to present their whole lives as a living sacrifice and just give everything that we are. But then he moves on to on verse 3. It says this, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. There's that healthy rock band versus unhealthy rock band mentality. Like, we don't need to stand out, especially in our culture. You know, you move this outside of a church conversation. There's so many voices and messages we receive in our culture that say if we're not out front or if we don't accomplish things and do great things or accumulate a lot, then somehow our value as a human being is diminished some. But the scripture says that we all have a gift. We all have something to give this world. And just another reminder, when you are functioning and you're performing for God and not human beings, or you're using the God-given gifts that you have, God sees that. And God is absolutely just cheering for you. And that is the way we function, where we come most fully alive, when we're performing for the right audience. And Paul goes on to say in Romans 12:4, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So if you're taking notes at home, The first lesson this gives us is each of us has a gift to be re-gifted. The Apostle Peter reinforces this idea by saying, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. When I run across the scripture, I'm blown away every time that we are stewards, we are managers of God's grace. You know, when we surrender our lives to Jesus, we get this spiritual renewal, this process that starts to take place, and God gives us his grace, and that's not meant to stay inside. And we are managers and responsible for doling out dollops, hopefully heaping dollops of God's grace into our world. And also here, I wanted to point out that some of us have more verbal gifts. There's kind of two divisions here in that verse. And others have more doing. So if you are more of a verbal type gifted person, let us know. Put that in the comments down below. Or maybe you are a doer. And some of us have a mix of both of those. I think we all have more than one. But this is astounding. Like, we've been given gifts by God, and we're supposed to give them away. So it goes on to say, and if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We all have these gifts, and as I've grown in my faith and studied a lot of this, I know a lot of people ask, like, when do we get spiritual gifts? When is there like one moment when we receive this extra gift of whatever it is? And there's a list that we're going to get to of spiritual gifts that Paul lays out. And I think my process now, I think every human being, whether they know God or not, since they're made in God's image, are born with like the seed of a gift, like potential energy versus kinetic energy. And as we surrender our lives to Jesus, one of the metaphors for the Holy Spirit is water. So as these seeds get watered by the Holy Spirit, they begin to grow. Or maybe there's a circumstance where God fans into flame a gift that we may need in a certain situation or a certain season of life. So, you know, when does it happen, and or are these gifts supernatural or natural? I think the answer is yes, because it's all from God. God's created all of this. It's something that we can make sure that as we stay connected to the vine of Jesus and stay connected to the Holy Spirit's work in our life and trusting that, these gifts grow and continue to grow as we mature as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. So the second lesson I want to get to is that these gifts are given for unity. That's another reason why I mentioned I'm so fascinated with especially rock and roll bands that have stayed together for a long time. There's a lot of leadership lessons in there and a lot of lessons for us, because there's different gifts involved, different egos, different agendas. And a lot of times when there's not something bigger to hold the group together, they wind up splitting off and going and doing their solo thing. And Paul knew this about the church in Rome. I mean, my goodness, in Rome, the capital of the most powerful empire on earth, Paul knew he had never visited this church, but he's got these new Roman or Gentile believers mixing together with Jewish background believers. And in the first century, this is the original Hatfields and McCoys. You've got the occupying force with the occupiers. They were oil and water, did not mix. And if you look, you know, we won't go through the whole letter today, but in Romans 1 through 3, he's telling both of these groups of people who have massive differences, incredibly different worldviews. Romans 1 and chapter 1 all the way to 3 is saying we all need a savior. Romans chapter 4 and 5 say we all have Christ, like we all need Christ, and this is supposed to be ethnically diverse, not ethnically exclusive. Moving on to Romans chapter 7, he's saying that the Jewish law isn't what saves us. It's faith that saves us. Romans 8, that this way is available to everyone on the planet. God's heart is to save the whole planet in this life and the next. In 9 and 11, Romans chapter 9 and 11, God is sovereign and he decides how people are saved. And it's not through your ethnic heritage or these cultural things. It's through what Jesus did and placing our faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. And that brings us to Romans chapter 12, where there's this image of a body that's mutually submitted to each other. And that word, you know, your one body, that's singular. So all of us, with all of our differences, here is such a beautiful example in our online campus. We're even living in different contexts, but when we come together here, and when we're praying for each other, and when you're saying hello to each other or praying for each other in the chat, like, we become one body. Let's go to Romans 12 again. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love, and honor one another above yourselves. So here, this list of gifts isn't exhaustive, and it's not incredibly descriptive. These are verbs in the original language. I've got this list here of seven gifts that Paul lists, and it's not like, if you're like me, I'm a personality type nerd and a little bit of a growth nerd, and finding out, oh, this is my personality, and I have this thing and this thing, and I am so special. Well, for those of you who are doers, Paul's your guy. He's saying, go prophesy, go serve, go teach, go encourage, go give, go lead, go show mercy. These are all actions that he's saying. You may have some that are more prominent than others. We all have our own constellation of gifts. But he's like, just try this stuff out and do it and kind of figure it out. So I want to take a look at the ones that Paul has listed here and just reflect on those for a couple moments. He started with prophecy. The prophetia is the original word, and it's perceiving and communicating God's will. You know, sometimes it means perceiving and communicating God's will for something that we're supposed to do in the future or look out for in the future, but it's, you know, perceiving, like, this is God's heart for the church, or this is God's heart for the community. And a lot of folks don't know, like, what are there prophets anymore? But there are some times where people have been in a team meeting or they've been praying and they're like, oh my goodness, here's a problem in our community. Let's mobilize and go help. Like, that is a prophetic gift. And if it's someone who's foretelling the future, I don't really have the gift of discernment. So sometimes I rely on somebody for that, or I just wait and see if it's coming true. But I've said it before, a prophet, if you have that gift, you have this God-given insight into what God's heart is for the church and what the church should be doing, and for the community and God's heart for the community. The second one is serving. Diakonia, that's what it is. Diakonia, all you Greek scholars out there, don't judge me. This is where we get our word deacons from. They were servers, specifically with an emphasis on, like, waiting tables. In the early church, these deacons were everybody's favorite because they were the ones going around filling up and topping off everyone's wine. So maybe if we're having trouble doing deacons, we just rebrand to the bartender's board instead of the deacon board. But I don't think that'll fly. But people love them because they weren't the, like, let's sit around and talk and talk about things. They're like, okay, enough chatter. Like, let's go out and do something, and let's go help people, and let's go show God's love. Like, if you're more of a doer, you may have already this serving gift that you're just ready to be there and ready to help, and you're ready to get stuff done. The next one is teaching. The didasco. And this is not, you know, a lot of us have had the full range of spectrum of teachers that are just amazing, and then some that are with all the chairs pointed towards them and they're just lecturing on. This teaching gift isn't just merely the ability to transmit information, but if someone is dwelling deeply in the scriptures and has been following Jesus a long time, and they have a path worn following Jesus, they also have the ability to go out. Maybe it's getting the information for people, but to go back and like help people actually learn more about God and how God has created this world to work and how our lives were created to work. If you have a passion for that, you may have a teaching gift. Encouraging. Parakaleo, this verb means to actually come alongside of somebody and encourage them, to defend, to comfort. There's a verse in John where Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit and actually uses the same word, and that's this divine, it's the divine coming alongside of you and providing steady footing no matter what you're going through. Like, this encouragement gift is huge, and it's so countercultural. Even if this isn't your main gift, as your pastor here in this moment, I want to encourage you to try this one out more, because our world needs this and our culture needs this. We are so good at tearing things down. We are so good at being cynical, or in the name of taking it apart to analyze it. A lot of times we take it apart and don't put things back together. And the older I get, the more interested I am in spending time with and being around people who can build things. Almost anybody can take something and someone apart, but we're called to put things and maybe put people back together and say, even if you don't have all the answers, you know, I don't know the answers for you, but I'm in this with you. I'm rolling my sleeves up. You falling down a pit? I'll climb down in that pit. I'll look around and say, wow, this really stinks. I'm so sorry this has happened to you. I'll clean you up a little bit. And I'll say, I'm going to climb up now. Come on up with me. If that's you, you may have the gift of encouragement, but if not, we could all raise our encouragement level and skill level a little bit. And the best way to do that is just to try, even if you fall flat on your face. That's a huge one that our world needs a lot. The next gift Paul lists is giving. And a lot of you are at home thinking, oh great, now the pastor, we're gonna take up an offering now. I am fascinated with this gift, not for reasons you might think, but this gift of giving. I've been around people from all ends, you know, of the financial spectrum, the socioeconomic status. And we most likely think of people who strategically use their resources and think carefully about them to advance God's kingdom, and who live within their means. And usually that's a person with a lot of money who sits down and says, okay, how can we do the most good with what we have? That is totally the gift of giving. But I've also been blown away with people who aren't at the top of the socioeconomic strata, that live within their means and they're generous with whatever they have. Jesus talks about the widow giving. She gave all that she had. And in comparison to the Pharisees that were just giving basically a tip to the temple, he was saying, God sees what she did and her giving was done in secret. This is a big deal. And it's not just for those who can afford it. And God can give a gift where it actually feels good and you enjoy it if you have that gift. And the last one we'll talk about here is mercy. The original word is eleo. It means that someone is wired for compassion and care. I love the folks who have a strong gift of mercy. They're usually ones who beat me to the hospital when I'm going to visit somebody. As a pastor, I'm not naturally wired for this one off the charts, but you know, I'm in a lot of situations where I need to provide comfort, compassion, and care. But oh, baby, when I'm in the room with someone who has a strong gift of mercy, it's just a thing to behold. Like, this is one of the most overlooked gifts, because we look at the people who are out front leading or using their verbal skills, but this may be someone who just has the ability to be there and be a presence, and somehow Jesus being present inside of them just takes the anxiety out of the room. Like, that's an amazing, amazing gift. And I mentioned leadership also. This is, you know, like we think of someone who can stand before. That's what the original word means. Proistemai means before, walking before. But like teaching, it's also someone with the ability who can come back and help people when they get stuck and saying, this is the way we're going. Come on, you can make it. It's a great, great gift. So this isn't just a list, like I mentioned before. Paul was telling the church in Rome, and I think Paul's telling us the same thing today. Go do it. Even if we can't gather all together in person, like, go out and do these things in your life. Ask Jesus to water these gifts, the seeds of these gifts inside of you through the Holy Spirit. And that leads us to lesson number three. If we don't re-gift what God gives us, we will stop growing. 1 Timothy 4, chapter 4, 14 says, you have been gifted by God. Do not neglect your gift. And embedded into the geography of Israel is the image of what this is talking about. Up at in northern Israel, there's the Sea of Galilee. There's so many scriptures and so many accounts of Jesus's life where he and his disciples did things around the Sea of Galilee, teeming with fish and teeming with life because water flowed into the lake or the sea and water flowed out. But at the southern part of Israel, there's the Dead Sea where water flows in, but it doesn't flow out. And after evaporation, the water became saltier and saltier, and not even saltwater life can live in the Dead Sea. When we don't give away what God has given us, we stagnate. And these things are meant to flow through us. And I think a lot of us, we think because we're not out front, or maybe we're not wired with all the verbal gifts, we think we don't have them. I don't think any of us are trying to be Ebenezer Scrooges and misers with our God-given gifts, but when we don't think like, oh, what gifts has God given me? When we focus on those, we find this place like, oh, I can give that away. I can give mercy. I can give encouragement, or whatever your gift is. So let's not be Dead Seas. And I just wish, you know, I was thinking a lot of you at this point in today's talk might be thinking, well, like when I go to church, like I have a teaching gift, but we have to listen to Mike almost every week, or we have all these gifts for, so sorry, teachers, you're stuck. Or whatever it is, or leadership. I just wish there was some place like where we could all be that wasn't this cultural, beautiful expression. This is one expression of church where you and I are together online or when we're outside together. That's a beautiful, but that's a cultural expression that's fairly new in the life of the body of Christ. Like, I wish there was a spot where we could all turn our faces chairs towards each other and experience life in deep community with smaller gatherings of people where the teachers had room to teach, or I was thinking at one of our services, like if someone has the gift of helps, they can't just randomly stand up and say, all right, everybody, let's stack chairs right now. Like, and there's some things that you can do. Well, I'm beating around the bush. It's a long way of saying, like, life groups that we have here are one way that we allow everyone to not only discover their gifts, but to exercise their gifts where they may not be able to on Sunday mornings. Our Sunday mornings are never meant, I want to make sure everyone knows, that's never meant to carry the full weight of a vehicle that's supposed to provide an opportunity or platform for people to express all of these. And I couldn't boil it down to just one challenge, but I think this list of gifts, it challenges us a lot. And I don't think we have to wait to sign up for a serving team or start expressing them. Like, we can start expressing these gifts today. So you can try all of these challenges, Or maybe just pick one this week. I want to take the pressure off of you. But I think these, the first of all, challenge us to pay attention to the gifts. Maybe we've never thought, and maybe we've never asked God, or the, in all honesty, like my experience of discovering my spiritual gifts hasn't been this eye-opening epiphany alone. It's been people saying, oh, I think you could do that. Why don't you try this position out? Or why don't you join this team for a while? And then people saying, oh, I think you have the gift of leadership. I think you have the gift of teaching. They've been affirmed by other people. But think about which ones, or maybe ask some people, how has God gifted me? And then when you know what gift you have, it helps you know what you want to do with it. And then also think about the people in your life, your loved ones. Do some reflection on what gifts they may have. And that may help you how to know, how to work with them better, how to live with them better, how you can function better as a team, as a couple, as a family, or even at work. And that'll help you know how you can grow in community. Do this with, for those of you that are already in life groups, like maybe you could all take a spiritual gifts assessment and talk about it and figure out how you can grow in community, in your life group, even deeper. And more towards maturity. Second one, never allow your gifts to prevent you from serving where needed, especially in the short term. There's going to be times where we'll be called on, or the situation where we'll be functioning outside of our gift set. And yes, we need to know our boundaries and limitations too, but there are seasons like God did with Moses. And Moses said, I'm not Mr. Public Speaker guy. And God's like, I've got you. That's the mic version, incredibly truncated. But there's been times in my life, I remember telling my friend when I started to work for him, he became a senior pastor, and he asked me to be the associate pastor. And I jokingly said, I'll do anything for you but kids ministry. Worst words ever. About 2 years later, I had to eat those words, because our children's ministry pastor had to move to Dallas for their spouse's work. And all of a sudden, I'm not gifted in that setting. I needed a lot of mercy. I'm not naturally gifted in that setting. But it was just amazing to see how God's help, I was able to function in that environment. And also God brought other people into my life that I wouldn't have interacted with otherwise. So it doesn't have to be forever. But every now and then, it's good to take a few baby steps out of our comfort zone. So maybe there is an opportunity for you to exercise one of these gifts that you don't feel like is your real power zone. Don't be afraid of that. It may be God leading you into something where God shows up and says, I've got you. And lastly, without the Holy Spirit's presence and guidance, our gifts would lie dormant like unwatered seeds. Spend some time this week asking God just to fill you up with his presence, fill you up with God's peace, and even envision like the Holy Spirit, like water, watering those seeds, and asking God to fill you up and to bring those gifts out so that you can re-gift them to the world. So what would that look like for you? Maybe it would look like joining one of our serving teams. I'm starting to collect names. Like, we have needs at our church for our teams that we can't fill right now. We can't literally have a kids ministry gathering right now, but it just kind of dawned on me, like, but what are we waiting for? Like, maybe you could sign up, and you can sign up on our website, or put a little link here in our descriptions to our church's website, and say when it is time. Maybe your gifting area, we can't really do that right now, but maybe you can say, hey, whenever the time comes, count me in. Or maybe you're wondering, like, I don't even know where to start. Like, I don't even know how I'm gifted and how I would love to give things away. Well, contact us, send us a direct message, or raise your hand in the chat and get in contact with us. We would love to journey with you to help unveil some of those seeds of God's gifts that are in your life. So with that being said, let's just take a moment and ask God to help us with this next week coming up, that we would know our gifts, that those gifts would grow, and that we would have the courage to give them away. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for trusting us with the gifts that you've given us. God, no matter where we're at in the spectrum of our journey with knowing which ones you've given us, in this moment, we ask that you would make us aware of your presence. We ask that you would fill us up afresh. After all this time in quarantine, God, that you would begin, maybe it's not the time for us to use these gifts, but you would begin the healing process and repairing our energy, repairing our soul, repairing our psyche, and help build us up so that when we can, when the season is right, we would be able to re-gift everything that you've given us. So we turn our hearts towards you again. In Jesus' mighty and powerful and redeeming name, amen. Well, that's it for this week. We love you. If you need prayer for anything, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Like I said, on our church website, on all of our social media platforms, links, we're not hard to find, and it is an honor and a privilege to just know what's going on in your life, whether it's good or bad. We want you to know that you are not alone. And that being said, I just want to say a blessing over you before we dismiss. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine down upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and water those gifts inside of your heart. And may you experience God's peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you real soon.